Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Well, here's what's happening Tuesday, April 16th, 2019. This is the 81st episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Brady Wright here nursing a slight bone bruise where I bashed my ankle moving the transmission on the big block Buick. It's amazing how hard those things are when they're on the lift.
They don't give.
No, it just swung down there and gravity did the work, and now my whole ankle is purple and green kinds of stuff. Master mechanic and metal butcher Shane Osborne is back with us this week. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing better.
Excellent. Glad to hear that. Now, even though you can't hear in one ear, isn't that?
Yeah, one ear is still plugged up, but it'll get there.
All right. And Steve, the producer, Johan, who has every single 45 RPM record of all of Sandra Dee's hits, and he plays them all at once every night just before he goes to bed. So... Hopefully. Every week I write
remind
some stupid...
Remind me who Sandra Dee is.
See. Every week I write some stupid thing about Greece. Steve, and most of the time he sits over there and goes, what?
Wait till the video's on Sandra and you can see everybody like
what in the heck is he talking about?
Sandra Dee was the character in Grease.
Oh. Well, one of them, yeah. They talked about her, but yes, she wasn't actually
she had her
in
own song
Grease.
In there.
Yeah, well, she was like the Surf Bunny chick that sang all the songs in the 60s.
Yeah,
okay.
Anyway, before we jump into the show, I do want to let everybody know that Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust has a choice opening for the naming rights to this studio. That's right. It is an opportunity to reach a huge audience of car enthusiasts. Every time we talk about the studio, we share the podcast with over 1 million listeners every week. I cannot believe that, but it's true. And every time we open a segment, your name gets attached to the richly appointed leather upholstered Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust studios. If you have a business that caters to car people, let us work for you. Imagine over 1 million listeners hearing me say Back to the Blacktop is coming to you from the E-Company Customs HSC&R studios or something like that. Yeah. Email the show at contact us at Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, or message us on Facebook. Now let us see what is happening in the world of automotive kind of stuff. Steve, what you got?
Well, this week is the New York International Auto Show, means a lot of new cars coming out.
And expensive cars.
And expensive.
The Jeep pickup truck is going to be there.
Well, it sure is. Yeah. And so is the VW big player pickup. It's the Touareg concept truck. Look at that. That's
Touareg.
Touareg. Not bad.
Shane knows how to say
it.
Touareg.
Touareg. It says...
It's named after a desert tribe of nomadic wanderers.
Yes.
It's true. That is.
Well, this one's actually called the Tarok concept truck. It's a little different than the one you were thinking of.
Oh, that was from Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
Tarok Nabah. Tarok Nabah.
Tarok Nabah. The shorts.
The Moktai chant of power.
Oh, that was a space ball. Sorry.
No.
Anyhow, so it's a nice looking little vehicle, and I think it's going to go well. We'll see if they actually roll it out.
Is it a midsize? What size?
Yeah,
how big is it?
It's a pretty good size. It's a four door.
It's not Armada big, but it's pretty good size.
Yeah.
I like it.
It kind of reminds
me. Pathfinder big.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
there
I would
go.
Say so. And then Audi Compact Q3 crossover is making its first debut. And it is what they call not quite the really expensive line, but it's starting at $35,000, which is quite frankly in...
That's right in there.
Theirs is a high end. It's this one's got a larger, more powerful powertrain and premium features, including now the Quattro all-wheel drive system. So
everybody's going for all-wheel drive.
Oh, it is.
Makes perfect sense. So $35,000, so does it have to do premium gas? Do we know?
It doesn't say. You know, they never say these things.
Well, the Nissan does. It's such a great car in that class.
Right.
But it needs premium. And all the rest of them will run on regular.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay. I mean, maybe it's worth it to you, but I don't know. It's just the way they tune them or map
it
them.
It is. And then rival Mercedes-Benz will be offering its concept GLB, slotting between the entry-level MB and the GLC crossover class.
Sounds like alphabet soup.
GLB.
Yeah, the Mercedes alphabet
MB,
is a very strange.
GLC. Yeah, it is. It used to be 300i, all these things. Something
nice
more
something
easier.
Sense,
exactly.
Yeah, well.
Now, Americans, we just color things like Demon.
I want a Mustang.
And a Mustang and an Impala and Nova.
Make up words. It's a Camaro. What in the heck is a Camaro? Well,
that's what this is.
It's an El Camino Del Rey. No, it's just El Camino. And then speaking of Mustangs, their new entry-level car will be powered by a more powerful high-performance package featuring a specially modified version of a turbocharged four-cylinder in their base Mustang. It will be putting out, 330 horsepower in
that's
a four-cylinder, 2.3 liter.
That's not bad for a base car
at all.
That's more than my El Camino 396 puts out.
Has it got a turbo?
Oh, my gosh.
Is it turbo?
Yes, it's turbo.
Oh, there you go.
It's an EcoBoost engine, 330 horsepower, 20 more than the standard Turbo 4 package, and 350 foot-pounds of torque. That is amazing. That is amazing.
Zero the whole concept of EcoBoost and Turbo in the same sentence still makes me laugh, although it's been 25 years they've been doing stuff like that, but it just makes me chuckle.
I know. And then automaker Genesis. We've
it's like
heard
saying Hot
before.
Rod Prius. I don't know. It's
hot
just
rod
a
Prius. It's a Hot Rod Pony. That's what it is.
There you go.
Automaker Genesis, which we've talked about before, is plugging into this year's New Year York International Auto Show with their Mint. It's a Mint. That's the name of it. It's their battery electric. Now, does that look like a little Porsche to you? 911?
Yeah, it does.
Hold that up close to the microphone so everybody
can
see it.
Yes, we got
to
put these things on Facebook.
It does, kind of.
It does. It's a little smashed down.
I can see it.
And a cute little car.
Is it two-door or four? I can't see.
It's a two-door. Two-door.
Right.
And so anyways, to me it looks like a smashdown 911. Psh, very
TT.
Nice. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
And, you know, the electric is all the way to go. And then Fiat to show off their new 2019 Spider 124 Urbana Soft Top Edition.
They're bringing back the 124.
Yes.
I
Isn't
love
that amazing?
That. Have they fixed the wiring problems?
Probably not.
Please tell me they have.
They're still using the wiring from the 1970s.
They were such a nice car, and they just had that, just such a weird, hitch in the get-along. If they just had fixed that.
Well, I think they have, and this one's got their powerful four-cylinder turbo engine as well. So you know it's going to be cranking out horsepower.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's cool to see these cars coming back. I love it.
I'm a fan.
They're not giving up on these old classic name
brands. And performance is coming back, so it makes sense to bring back the names of the performance cars.
Yeah.
You know that Bob Bondurant's race driving school down in California, they used Fiat 124s as the bridge between, you know, the nothing car and the actual race car.
Wow.
I drove them when I went down and took the course, and they actually handled really well. They were nice little cars.
Just now, what year was this?
73.
When I went through driving school there, we were driving the 5.0 Mustang.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but that you're like 100 years younger than I am. That's the problem. No, this is about 73.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was a race school?
Yeah, Bob Bondurant.
Well, is it still there? I think it's still there. Yeah.
Wow.
Bob's gone.
It's at Sears Point.
Yeah.
Which is called something else now. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. You could go down, and it was a weekend,
right?
And 3 days, and you spent. I can't believe how much I spent.
It's like $3,500.
Yeah, it is. When I went down, it was $130.
That was 73.
It was just ridiculous.
73. My
it was
dad,
a good chunk of money then.
My
but
dad, I think,
86
paid
when I went through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was big fun. I mean, they taught you all kinds of understeer, oversteer, you know, shifting on the. I mean, it was.
Who's the guides that we had on here? We interviewed the guys that are down at ISIR, but
the driving guys.
Yeah, we had them on.
Well, yeah, Robert Durf was one of the instructors for.
One's for Porsche. But yeah. There's another one that actually has a driving school.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to pull him up.
We'll have to look back in the archives.
Maybe you have to bring him back on.
Yeah.
Good news for Challenger owners. The 2019 Challenger RT Scat Pack 1320 is now National Hot Rod Association approved for drag racing competition.
NHRA approved, you bet.
And, guys, what's the 1320 signifier or designator mean?
That's how far, how many feet in a quarter mile.
You got it.
Why? Of course.
And good news for caddy lovers.
Nobody cares anymore. It's 1,000 feet now.
No. Good news for caddy lovers. They're coming out with a brand new CT5 sedan, which will take over the position of the C4. So that might be something Brady wants to buy when his wife says she wants a new car.
Yeah, sure. Yep. No,
she doesn't want a rat rod.
I already know what she wants, and it's going to be just about as expensive as the Cadillac.
Oh, okay.
Hey, glad to have you with us. Coming up, we get to talk to a guy who has literally grabbed the interest of the entire internet by digging a car out of the dirt. All that and more on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
We're back with the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and it's time for the windshield view. And this week, we have us in our leather upholstered.
Yes.
Really?
Sure.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust Studios, Quentin Folk from Kansas. How you doing, Clinton?
Pretty good.
Hey, cool. So I want to set the scene just a little bit for Quentin's conversation here. So anybody that's paid any attention to Facebook or the internet over the last month or so may very well, especially if you go to any of the car sites or car pages, may very well have seen a story or two or had a share about a guy in Kansas who has literally dug a Model A out of the dirt in his grandfather's farm. And it's gotten shared everywhere, and I have no idea how many people are paying attention to your page or anything like that. And it's true, you really did dig a car out of the dirt. But before we get to that part, if you don't mind, Quentin, I'd like to add this. As I understand it, this car has been buried in your grandfather's farm. Is that right, for a long time?
It was there when he bought the land in, I think, 1980.
Yeah.
So that would be about, close to 40 years at least.
Yeah.
And it was about as buried as it was when I found it back then when he bought the land. So it's been a long time. It's been under the dirt.
So the pictures make it look like about all that was visible on the top of the dirt was part of the roof. Is that about right?
Yep, pretty much all the way to the cowl and where the windowsills would have been if it had doors.
So you're a kid and you're going to your grandfather's farm. When do you find this thing? At what age do you decide this is a cool thing?
I was about 7 years old the first time he actually showed it to me.
Yeah.
I knew there were a lot of old cars back there. And then one day I was talking about old cars on Discovery Channel, watching that show, I think, American Hot Rod, and I said, I want a Model A like that. You know, they did a really cool pickup on there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd love to have one of them, Grandpa. And he's like, you know, I know where one's at. He took me back there and showed it to me. I couldn't believe we had one, but I didn't. At the time, I'm like, oh, it's got to be fine under there. You know, it's under the dirt, but I didn't really, you know, comprehend how much it was going to take to get it out of there. And it took a long time, but.
Well, yeah, and so. Let me ask you now, when it's buried in the dirt, are there a bunch of cars? Is this one of those things? Because back in the day, people would take old cars and they'd kind of put them in, you know, bury them under there to make, you know, like a bulwark against a dam or, you know, landfill kind of thing to hold up a wall. Is that kind of what the deal was with that?
Yeah, they actually put it in there because the creek started eating away at where the car was back through that gully there.
Yeah.
It would have ate it all the way to the other side where the creek intersect with itself. So then you would have lost all that grassland. The cows wouldn't have been able to access it.
Got it.
So what they did is filled that in with those old cars, which is also a 37 Ford Humpback back there too. And I still got to pull that out yet. It's not buried as bad, but... And you can see where it actually stopped it, and then the creek went the other way, and it ate a new path back into itself. So it only ate up, you know, maybe an acre of land instead of like 20 or 30 acres. So it actually did work. It did its job.
Sure.
But, I mean, and it had been there so long, you know, the creek made a new path, so it wasn't even needed anymore to prevent soil erosion. It was just kind of there.
Yeah.
So my grandpa, he was fine with me digging it out, so... One day I went back there and took pictures of it, and it just blew up on the internet. I mean, I was planning on digging it out, and I realized I had 5,000 people react to it, and I was like, wow, this is a big thing. So I went out there and put a shovel on the ground and started digging because everyone was curious. And, I mean, I've been curious since I was 7 years old, so I figured what a better time than now than to just start digging on it. So.
No kidding. So now let me ask, how old are you now, if you don't mind my asking?
23.
So...
That's
we're
so
talking,
cool.
We're talking 14, 15 years, and you've been, mm-hmm. How long have you really been thinking about digging it out, or did it just sort of come to you, you know, 6 months ago?
Well, I have a 36 Chevy I dug out first, and it was in another section of land behind my mom's house.
Okay.
So that project's been keeping me busy for a long time, and I have a 69 C10, and I have an 07 Grand Prix that I just had a transmission put in. I've had a lot of hot rods.
Sure.
Cars to work on, so it was kind of one of those projects that's like, yeah, you know, eventually I'll get to it, because, I mean, we're starting from literally under the ground up on this one, so I had other more complete cars to work on over the years, so it was kind of one of those projects I didn't plan on doing for a while. But
well, and in fairness, it wasn't going to go anywhere, so you you didn't have to worry about it disappearing on you.
So, Quentin,
it definitely could have waited.
Quentin, I have a question. You have a lot of cars. You've worked on a lot of cars. You've owned a lot of cars. You're only 23. So when did you get the bug, and who inspired you to get the car bug?
Probably my mom. When she was about 15, she was pregnant with me. She had me at 16. When she was 13 years old, she saw an 81 Firebird Formula and just knew she had to have it. So my granddad bought it for her, and we're talking like a pristine, you know, 20,000-mile Firebird back in the day. And I remember being a little kid riding around in that car, and my mom was crazy with it. I mean, it just had the 301 with the turbo. And my uncles, you know, of course, they're diesel mechanics, and they knew how to work with turbochargers. They found out how to close the wastegate so it had full boost, and they got rid of the emission stuff, and, I mean, it would turn the tires. I just remember hot rodding around town with my mom in that car in the back seat with her friends and whatnot. And I got that car when I was 12 years old, and, I mean, I just, ever since, I'd been hooked, you know.
Wow.
And that was kind of my first car. So it was my mom's first car, became my first car. My mom blew the motor up. I put a 400 Pontiac in it out of my uncle's old Grand Prix. I blew that up, so currently I don't have an engine in that. But, I mean, that was my first hot rod, and it just got me hooked on speed, you know.
Well, so tell me a little bit about the other cars you've had. I mean, you mentioned a few of them here, but let's go through the list.
Let's see. I got a 69 C10 that I got when I was 16. I'm actually sitting in it right now.
Oh, perfect. It's got pretty good acoustics.
Yeah, I figured,
not bad.
Yeah, I figured this would be the best place. Nobody bothers me.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
And it's got a 350 in it. Advanced Engine in Salina, Kansas actually built the motor that's in it. I got it from my cousin AJ, who got it from his neighbor Don, who had it in a Chevy Monza drag car. And it puts out about 430 horse. So it's my third motor I've had in this truck. And I just put my fifth transmission in like yesterday. So I mean, I've blown it up and rebuilt it quite a few times.
Getting good at it now.
The 36, the 36 Chevy. It's still a project, of course. It was even worse than this Model A, actually, and it was buried in a spot just downstream from a spring.
Oh right.
And it was only about 4 inches deep, but everything below the ground was rotten because, of course, it had moving water next to it all the time. Oh, yeah. And so I dug it out, realized the whole back half of the cab was gone. Well, I had a 39 chunk of cab where somebody had cut the whole firewall out of it. I don't know why they did that. Probably maybe just to take the cowl and use it on another truck, I guess. But I found that back in the trees at my grandpa's. So I used the back of the 39 on the 36 cab, built a frame from scratch out at my uncle's in his shop. And it's just got a 327 sitting in it right now. Nothing's bolted up yet or anything. It's just kind of a everything's welded up. It's just kind of time to build motor mounts and all that, wire it and everything. So that's another ongoing project. And then I have an 07 Grand Prix, which a lot of people don't know. They actually made one with a 5.3 V8 in it sideways.
Yeah.
And when I had my little girl here a year and 3 months ago, I knew how to get a family car. My old 69 Chevy, you know, I couldn't have her in it because it's too loud and it's not safe, no seatbelts. So I bought that car. I was like, if I get anything, it's going to be like a four-door Corvette, you know. So that was the best thing I could find next to a Pontiac G8 that I could afford. And I just had a transmission put in that, which is pretty expensive. But modern cars, they can't really handle my abuse, I guess.
So. Computers don't like that abuse.
Yeah. No, not really.
Well, so this is a lot of people who are watching, and I'm looking at the comments on the Facebook pages and stuff like that. A lot of people saying, you know, things like, well, you must really have some expertise to make this work. And I definitely want to talk about that, because this isn't something that you should take lightly. Digging a car out of the dirt is a project by itself, but knowing what to fix and what to keep going, that's a whole other ish. So we're going to take a break here in a minute, and I want to talk some more about that when we come back. One quick thing. Total time, how long did it take to dig this thing out?
I think it was 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
But that was just working in the evening after a full-time job, so a few hours a day.
Man, wow.
So about 1 day's worth of work.
That's not bad at all.
What a fun project.
All right. Well, we'll be back right after these messages. You want to stay tuned for more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it, you might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Back in Vehicle City. My old stomping ground.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show, and we are talking with Quentin Falk. And just before the break, we were just talking about how many days it took him to shovel out this beautiful old car.
I don't know if beautiful is the word.
Well, it is. It is his eyes. And Quentin, why don't we continue? I think, Brady, you had another question you wanted to start.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're talking about 4 days, but maybe one solid day's worth of work. But you stretched it out a little ways. I liked the fact that you posted pictures and videos and stuff of what you were doing. people love videos, and just watching you rock that thing in the dirt, just dig a little bit more and, you know, rock it some more. What did you have any idea how much was going to be there when you pulled it out?
By the way, it was looking after the first probably 3 or 4 inches, I figured I'd have a complete cab, which I ended up actually pulling out because fortunately there was a cow path right next to it on either side of it, because the cows used to walk past it to get to the water.
Yeah.
And it packed the dirt so tight,
sure,
I don't think very much air could get down.
Oh,
and, like,
wow,
oxygen to corrode the metal. So once I realized that there was a lot there, I figured, oh, there must be the rest of it must be fine. And it turned out to be okay. There was a lot of mud caked in it. That was the main thing. It was just so heavy because the dirt was so dense and packed.
Yeah. Now, this is sort of a little bit off the track, but what kind of dirt, are you talking in Kansas? I know there's a lot of red clay in the southern states, but in the central states, the dirt's pretty good. Did it come out okay? You pressure wash it out, or what you going to do there?
I just kind of used the garden hose down
there
by at my grandpa's farm. We threw it on a trailer, and I just washed it off with a regular old hose. I kind of, put my thumb over the end of it, sprayed a little bit. We do have a power washer, but I was kind of worried about that just because it's fresh out of the dirt. I didn't want to blow any holes through it.
Yeah, I thought about that.
I wanted to make sure there weren't any real fragile spots where I would need to see the metal to be able to rebuild it. But it really only has one major hole in the back, and that's just because a root grew through it.
Well, that'd do it.
The floor is the worst part, but building a rat rod or a hot rod, usually you're going to channel it on the frame anyway.
Sure.
So that's okay. That'll get cut anyway.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people, they want to see it restored like a factory original Ford. I'm like, yeah, I ain't got the money for that.
No.
That's a lot of work.
You basically have a rat rod right there in front of you. I mean, you don't have to do too awful much. You can rattle can paint it and you'd be good to go. How much, I look to me, Quentin, when I was looking at the page, that most of the firewall is actually there. Is it? Have you got a whole cowl and a firewall up there?
Yeah, that's all still good. The gas tank is even still there.
Wow.
I even got the petcock free, and a bunch of muddy water came out of it.
Oh, well, like, excellent. I figure you probably would have to clean out the tank. I don't think you'd be lucky enough to have
it. Yeah, I probably won't end up using that.
I'm sure.
Use a different tank.
So
just
is your
for safety reasons. I don't like having all the gas right above my feet.
Well, there's that, yeah.
Now, I got to ask you, is your grandfather's farm, how large is it, and is he still working it?
About 1,080 acres, and he's still got a few hundred head of cattle and runs it all by himself.
Nice.
Wow, that is excellent.
Nice.
That is excellent. Of course, your grandfather's probably not as old as some people's grandfathers, because you're a youngin'.
Yeah, he's in his 60s.
Oh, there you go.
My mom was so young when she had me. He's not that old.
That's right.
That's great.
But,
so
great-granddad's still alive, though. He just turned 94 about 3 days ago.
Excellent. My dad's 92, so he's right up there with your granddad.
Super.
Great-granddad.
Oh, wow.
So you got the body, basically. You got the cab. Now you're gonna have to build a frame, of course. There was no frame in there that I saw.
Ended up having a frame.
Yeah. What's your plan for what you're gonna do with it?
Well, I have there's another Ford, I believe it's a 36 or a 37 humpback, just like the other one that's back there that's flipped upside down in a creek bed.
Yeah.
And it's also my granddad's pasture, and I'm thinking about using the frame from it. And I'll chop it, channel it, raise the back about 4 inches so the cab sits real low. And
sure,
if I use that I'll just fabricate one out of that. If not, I found one in Nebraska I've been looking at. The guy wants $3,500 for a complete two-door sedan. It's a 30 to 31 and a frame and a bunch of axles and other parts. I figured for $3,500 I could sell the two-door sedan.
Sure.
Keep the frame, and then I have a frame for my build.
There you go.
Because that sedan, I mean, being complete and all there, it'd be a shame to hot rod it just because it's so, complete. I have pictures of that on my page, too. I'm really thinking about that one if I don't build my own frame.
And what are you thinking about for a motor? I mean, we have to ask these questions.
I have a Pontiac 400. Actually, I have three of those laying around. I have a 350 Olds Rocket. V8, what's left of it. It's out of a 74 Cutlass I bought in high school that ended up becoming a derby car. I have a bunch of Ford motors out at the farm. I mean, there's a lot of complex, actually harvesters, people don't realize it, but a lot of those old harvesters had Ford and GM engines in them.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So my grandpa has a shed full, about 3 or 4 different Ford engines of different variants. I mean, 460s. I think there's even a 302 in there out of an old Mercury that he had.
Well,
so
you option, could.
But I do know I do know where there's a first-gen Hemi. I don't know the displacement of it, though.
Well, you could buck the trend and do Ford and a Ford. I mean, that would be kind of cool. But nothing wrong with that. But still, I mean, a Hemi would be awesome.
You know,
you couldn't go wrong with a big block GM product either. So,
well, what's interesting?
That'd be cool. And there's also I do work in a semi salvage yard.
So yeah,
I come across BT4, BT6 Cummins all the time.
Oh yeah,
like that old Detroit, maybe even like a two-stroke. 453T would be kind of cool.
You know,
so
Quentin,
we're
out here in Seattle, and this is hydroplane country out here, and I wouldn't be surprised if I could hook you up with somebody who's got an old leftover Allison or a Merlin up here. You know, you could extend that frame out a little bit and put a V12 in there without any real issue. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool.
I think maybe you ought to do that with yours, Brady.
No, I already got a big block Buick in there. That's big enough for me.
Enough to round.
Nothing like
off.
Big block power.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
that's true.
And you're out there in the middle of Kansas, and a lot of roads that just go to nowhere. And so, is that still pretty true out there?
I found a lot of those in high school.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yeah. Here in our little area, we're pretty close to the city. There's not a lot of that anymore. But I grew up in the country, and there was a lot of roads that you just—that's what you did. You just saw how fast your car could go, and thank God that you didn't destroy yourself. But
too often,
right?
But so tell me a little bit. You got a little child, and is there a wife, and is she involved in all this, and does she have the passion for this?
I have a girlfriend.
Girlfriend?
Her name's Heather. Yeah, we and her had a kid together here about a year and a quarter ago.
Right.
Way to
I've
go.
Known her for like 2 years. She actually worked for my grandma's Dairy Queen here in Beloit. That's how I met her.
Oh, nice.
actually didn't pick this one up off the internet.
Oh, good.
Well, good job, Heather. Take care of this guy, all right?
Yeah, well.
Nice.
And she supports all your fun with the cars?
Yeah, she's okay with it. Like my C10, she doesn't ride it very often. She says it's terrifying. She feels like she's gonna die every time.
Uh-huh.
But she likes the Pontiac, the Grand Prix. She does enjoy that.
Well, there you go.
Very good. Yeah,
likes the V8 power.
Something about loud cars, and not every woman wants to be in the loud car.
No, but they want a comfortable car.
Yes,
so
they do.
You get decent seats and suspension, then you're halfway there, Quentin. I'm telling you. Hey, let me ask you. You said that you had some other cars out there, and I know you talked about that humpback. So this area clearly was used as a cofferdam, basically, with all these bodies. And how many of them do you have out there that you have designs on bringing out of the dirt?
Definitely the two Fords, the 37, and I think the other one could be a 36, is what somebody told me. But I'll bring both of them out, and I might be able to make one out of two with those. There's a 36 Oldsmobile, four-door sedan out there with the rear suicide doors.
Oh, yeah.
I already have the front clip of it recovered. I've thought about taking out the front section of doors and making it shortening it and making it, like, have suicide doors. Like, basically build a coupe out of it.
Sure, sure.
I thought of ideas of that because it's so far gone, the body's all twisted. And, I mean, the Oldsmobile coupes, there was only, I think, 2,500 of them made.
Yeah, you could end up with a little
coupe,
Oldsmobile shorty nomad kind of a thing.
Yeah, maybe do like an altered wheelbase or like an altered kind of look to it.
That'd be fun.
There's a 58 Olds 88 out there that I'm definitely going to drag out.
That's
great.
It
was kind of my grandpa's little hot rod back in the day. Had the 373 or 377 in it, I believe, or 371 Olds four barrel.
Okay, sure. That's cool. Now, I understand you also put together a separate, have you got a separate page, the resurrection page, or what is it, just what you're calling the project?
I just have one just called The Resurrection of the Buried Model A. That's the only page I have so far.
That's just great.
Well, cool.
And,
go ahead. Well, I was going
to
ask.
I put updates on there. Try to every day.
Yeah, we're going to link to that for sure. But we'll do all of that once we get the show posted, which is going to be another day or so, and then we'll have it up there for you.
I had a question.
Okay.
You're doing all this fab work. Where do you do all your work?
I have a building of my own in Glasgow, Kansas. Me and my buddy Brody, but we don't have power to it yet. So mainly just at my grandpa's shop. He has a welder, and he has about four welders, and I got grinders and tools there. I have other tools at where I work, the salvage yard in Beloit. That's where I built the frames for my first rat rod. And I work for my uncle, so he lets me use his shop from time to time. So I have about three different locations.
Very good.
People are...
Old,
Go ahead.
There's an old blacksmith shop out there, a little blacksmith shop that was on my grandpa's land when he bought it.
And oh, there you go.
Since the 1800s. And yeah, power ran up to it. He said I could put my welder in there and use it. And it's actually decent size. I have a few videos of it on my page. I've just been started cleaning it out lately.
Cool.
So that way I can work down there and be out of everyone's way.
Well, pretty soon you're going to end up having a shop of your own, and people are going to come and bring stuff that they dragged out of.
Yes.
You know, have you got any idea how many people on Facebook are doing this now, too?
Oh, I've seen hundreds of people digging stuff out of the ground now.
There's
now,
dozens.
Now that I've showed it can be done,
yeah.
It's just started this whole trend.
Oh, and everybody's doing it. And in fact, on several, we share this show to about 100 different car-based, you know, Facebook pages and websites and stuff. And everybody, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just all over the place. Well, the kid in Kansas did it, so I can do it. And, you know, it's kind of cool. I've said on several of them, you know, this week we're going to have the original guy on the show. So if you want to learn how to do it, this is the trick. You started a trend, Quentin.
Yes, for sure.
Well, it's amazing that there's that.
I'm sure I'm not the first guy to do it, but I'm definitely probably one of the first ones to go viral doing it, I guess. Oh, I did hear about a van that somebody dug out. Cherry Bomb, I think it was called.
Oh, really?
I heard that was pretty popular.
That's right. I remember
Everyone was like, did you get the inspiration from that guy? And I'm like, I actually didn't even hear about it until I did it.
Yeah.
And then people told me that some other guy had done it, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I was surprised more people hadn't done it already.
You know, and maybe they have, but, you know, the combination of you doing it and now and the internet all, you know, at once kind of came together.
Yeah, the internet helped. So
yeah.
Sure.
I mean, it's just like we the joke is always, we used to do stuff like that too, but there wasn't an internet and nobody knows about it back in
right.
the day.
Well, and what's interesting, Quentin, is you've got a grandfather who has all this stuff on his farm, and then people start scratching their head going, well, I know my uncle, and I know a friend, and a friend of a friend, and they got 200 acres, 300 acres, 500, 1,000 acres. I'm going to tromp around and see what they got, and a lot of these relics are sitting out in people's farms. We see them up here. They're rusted, or there's a tree growing out of them.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of people don't even know what they got back there.
Not at all.
You know, I think we're going to have to start a new term. There's always been barn find cars, you know, barn. I think we're going to have to call them dirt find.
Dirt find. Farm find. Farm find.
Farm find, dirt find.
That sounds about right to me.
Yeah, it's the best. And it's such a great thing to do because, you know, for years and years, there were a reasonable supply of old cars like that. You could get them in the junkyards and people's backyards and stuff, but, you know, it's actually kind of starting to dry up. There's fewer of them than there used to be. So
and everybody that's got one wants $3,000 for it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, and yeah. Oh, it's a one of a kind. Well, it's not, but you say it is. So now I think people are going to start looking. Well, you know, it's not just because it's buried doesn't necessarily mean it's horrible. And you probably have a better situation out there than we might. Here we got an awful high water table. And anything that's buried out here is probably just a sea of rust, and it's not, you know, some of them aren't salvageable, but a lot of places are.
I've always said pasture ground, that's the best place to look, because if you think about it, 100 head of cattle, they got to reach every inch of grass eventually, so they're going to walk by it eventually and pack it, and they love rubbing up against old cars, scratch their fur.
Well, there you go.
And that's the best part. They use them for a scratching post, so they're standing next to it, packing the dirt tighter and tighter, and eventually, you know, it'll create kind of a seal. At least that I found anyway.
That's not a bad thought.
It's kind of like a whole, I mean, I grew up around farms, and I've seen the Hulks out here in some of our farms and stuff. But this is amazing. But you're right. They used to take these cars and use them as dams and as a way to buffer the creek sides and the river sides and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And no one thought, you know, take the oil out of there.
Build a breakwater out of cars.
Build a breakwater out of cars.
What do you mean take the oil out?
Well, they didn't even take the oil out of it. No, they just dumped them.
Just bury it in there.
Yeah.
Well,
some of them they actually drove to where they're at too.
Yeah.
I've been told they would literally just ghost ride them right into the valley.
Yep. Well, and my family's from Montana, and there's an awful lot of places out in the rural parts of western Montana where there's literally car walls. You know, they just smashed them up and left them there, but for that exact purpose. So.
Yeah.
Hey, Quentin, I really appreciate you taking some time and talking with us. We are going to have all of this on our web page. We're going to share the show, of course, and we're going to link to your Facebook page and Resurrection of the Old. What's the title of the page?
Resurrection of the Buried Model A.
Resurrection of the Buried Model A. You heard it, folks. Quentin, thanks a whole bunch. Coming to us from Beloit, Kansas. We're glad to have you on the show.
All righty. Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Hey.
Yeah, you bet. And stick around. We'll be talking to you off air here. And
oh, yeah. Hang up. Don't go away. We got lots of cool other interesting plans we want to loop you in on.
Well, you're listening to the greatest automotive right. information show in the known world, Horsepower Chrome and Rust, and a cool hot rod story you can tell your friends is coming up next. So stick around.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org.
Welcome to the story time segment of the show. This is Cars Confidential. It could be sponsored by you.
Could be.
Just give us a call. This is where we usually hear a story from Brady from the old Car Nut book. What do you have for us today, Brady?
Oh, boy. Well, I wish I had a story about digging a car out of the dirt.
Oh, I know.
We just did that, so.
That'd be redundant.
Yeah, I know. But it's almost the same thing. I have this one's called eBay Racer.
Oh, yeah. It's like digging it out of somewhere.
So, yeah, they're dig it out of the internet, I guess. It's as per usual, these things are always a little bit more than you think. This is a story by Dave Alvar, and it goes like this. A few years back, I was browsing through the eBay auctions looking for a rod project when I came across a 28 Ford that really caught my attention. It was an old single-seat race car with a narrowed frame and hand-formed aluminum body and belly pan. Now, they used to narrow the frames for racing. Now, of course, it's as much track as you can get, because yes. Then they don't tip over. But this was 1928. So there's a picture of it here, too, which I should put on the page. Shane will appreciate this. You see this thing?
Oh, very nice.
It's like an old indie-looking thing. Anyway, so it had a hand-formed aluminum body and a belly pan. Now, the polished radiator shell was from a tractor, and it bore a plaque that read, Earthmaster Farm Equipment. So behind the grill, there were louvers in the upper and lower areas of the cutout aluminum hood. 16-inch wire wheels, knockoff setters, solid there, married it to the ground, and it had a really great stance. It even had a clear Washington State title. So we were talking love at first sight, and there was a buy-it-now price of $3,500. So I jumped in, and I bought it on the spot. I talked to my brother-in-law into helping me haul it home from Tacoma on his old trailer. It was so cool that once I got it home, I spent hours just looking at it. Just look at it. Look at it. Look at that. The engine was an original Model A four-banger, had an Alcoa aluminum head. and aluminum side cover with a Thomas aluminum intake manifold that sported, are you ready, twin carbs with aluminum scoops. A lot of aluminum. I'm sensing a trend here.
Yes.
Aluminum's fast.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, it's all right. It's a lot faster than steel and lighter. So the vintage Mallory distributor, holy moly, that got its spark from a coil that looked like a cross between a canteen and a hand grenade, and the exhaust header ran down the right side of the car. It looked just right. Now, behind the engine was a 3-speed transmission, a shortened drive shaft, and a rear end with a quick change cover. I never did find out if it was a real quick change or just for looks, but either way, it was pretty cool. Inside, there was a bomber seat and a beautiful old steering wheel that operated the steering box, which poked out on the left side by the firewall. And on the dash were a vintage Stewart Warner speedometer and a weathered Rosetta timing plaque, which proclaimed that one Aiden England had driven the car to 101.12 miles per hour at Mirage on 10/19 of 1958.
Wow.
101 in 1958 was moving.
Yeah, it was.
You know,
and
I mean,
it's also showing that this thing actually was a racer and it's historical.
Oh, yeah. It had a plaque.
Yep.
So aft of the abbreviated body, the body looks really cool. It looks like a bathtub. It literally looks like a bathtub. There was a funny-looking gas tank and a single taillight with the word STOP displayed on it, just in case you were curious. Attached to the license plate was an original Gilmore Lion frame. What is that? I don't know what that is.
It's kind of a cast iron license plate frame that goes around the outside of it.
Yeah. It just like got lion on it or something? Yep. Literally just that? Yep. Okay.
Remember the old flying horse ones? And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe this was some nifty speed part that I didn't know what it was.
No, it's just a nifty license plate part.
Okay. The idea of a license plate on a race car, I guess they drove it on the street apparently. At that point, I had to ponder, what am I actually going to do with this masterpiece? Well, it collected dust in my garage for a year and a half before I finally admitted to myself that I wasn't going to do anything with it. It needed to go. I listed it on eBay and quickly scored a $2,000 profit. Not bad. The fellow who purchased the car claimed that he knew the history behind it. He stated that it was the father to a car called the Cat Piz Special. Built by Neil Brislon. I can't vouch for his story, but I know that he wrote it up nicely, took some great photographs, and made another $2,000 profit when he turned around and resold the car on eBay, of course.
Excellent.
So, I love...
Prominence. That's what makes things valuable, is to have the story.
Yes,
and
you
got to
have the story.
Yes.
You got to have the story. I love... I really am going to take a bigger picture of this car because it's got a 198. It's the number on the car. Or maybe it's 19B. I can't quite make it out. But, I mean, this is an honest-to-gosh, you know, bathtub racer. It's really a cool-looking car. And, you know, it brings back memories of who among us has not, you know, seen something on eBay that you say to yourself, God, that would be just the coolest thing to do. And if only I had, you know, some extra cash or some extra space or not 16 other projects that I'm working on, you know.
What are you talking about there?
Well, a friend of mine years ago did something very similar to that. He found, it wasn't on eBay because it was before computers, but he found, I think it was in one of the want ads, a 1954 Oscar bodied Maserati racer. Looked kind of like the old Cobras, the AC Bristol Cobras, except the nose was a little bit more sharky. Anyway, and the guy wanted $1,000 for it. And now, originally, it had the Maserati, of course, engine, but that had been taken out along with the drivetrain, the transmission. The Maserati suspension was all still there. It was an aluminum birdcage body frame, you know, so it weighed nothing. And somebody had stuck in a 215 Buick. One of those aluminum V6s, and some kind of a 4-speed transmission. We never did know what it was, but the gears in the rear end of this thing were really tall enough that you could do, well, it'd only go about 98 miles an hour, but it would get up to 98 like really fast.
Oh,
it was dangerous. I mean, actually, because it didn't weigh anything,
right?
And you couldn't keep the thing on the ground. We nearly died in it several times. But you know, he sold it once he discovered that it was way more car than he could actually handle.
Yeah.
His ego got the better of him. But you know, that stuff like that happens all the time. It seems like a good idea when you buy it, and then you Sell
realize it.
It
wasn't.
Do something else with it. Yeah.
Well, speaking of cars, they're...
Wait, before you do that, I do want to plug the Old Car Nut book series like we always do. David Dickinson is very kind to let us do these things, and they are on Amazon. You can get them from the Old Car Nut book, as usual, of course, and there's three books in the series, and he threatens to make the fourth.
Yes.
He keeps threatening.
Yes. Well, along those lines, our guest there in the last segment was talking about a Buick Grand National, I believe. And anyway, there is up for sale, it's a Hemmings car of the week, Ooh. Is 1984 Grand National El Camino. It is a 1984 El Camino that has been transformed into an 87 Grand National, Buick Grand National. The build was a seven-year labor of love, professionally built, no expenses spared. It took close to $95,000 to piece this thing together without counting labor.
oh, my God.
And it has all the best parts. And what's interesting is, you know, you think about, and it says the car was completed in August of 2004, won numerous trophies, included best of show in excess of 300 participants. Asking price is $39,000. You know, again, when you talk about building a car for yourself, you never expect to ever get your money out of it. Because
getting 30% of what he put into it out of it is actually about average.
Yes.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. And yep. It's amazing what you do with for the love of your passion, is you will spend a lot of money, whether it's motorcycles, cars, boats, you name it, motorhomes, and then you turn around, you try to sell them, and you don't get anything close to what you paid for it.
Well, you never will.
That's why I like spending other people's money.
Yeah, because you get the experience of building
I get to build the car and buy all the cool parts. And
yeah.
Then
you don't have to explain to your wife why
exactly.
The rent's late.
Yep.
Well, there was that one.
That's why I do what I do.
Yeah. There was the show on Netflix about taking a – they started from – this base car, and they kept building up and trying to sell a $100,000 car and that type of thing. And it was like, well, we should keep it. Nope. And they'd always sell it because as a shop, you need money.
Oh, yeah.
And so every time you sell something, the profit is where you get to pour into your employees and back into the next project. So
yeah, no matter how cool your shop is, you do have to pay your guys.
Yep. Yes, you do.
Pay the guys and the power company. All right, guys. Stay right here for next week's trivia, or this week's trivia question.
Oh, yeah.
Answer and next week's question.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
But we'll have both of those. I
both of those together, even in the same center.
That's right. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Hey all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can, you're an El Camino, El Camino man, only.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino Grand National man. Welcome back to segment 5, where we've lost our minds. This is Around the Wheel. This is, of course, could be sponsored by you if you were really smart. This is where we talk about the upcoming events and the weekly trivia question and a bunch of other cool stuff. And as per usual, the trivia question from last week did have a correct answer, well, and a correct answerer. The question was, what car maker was originally known as Swallow Sidecars before they were known as Jaguar?
Isn't that amazing?
Because that's why the early Jaguars had SS as the delineator on a lot of the models.
They had leftover parts.
Leftover parts, so they made them out of sidecars. Yeah, Swallow Sidecars was what they originally started off with.
And I guess they were trying to say, you know, Swallow is not that aggressive, and if we're going to sell aggressive cars, we better choose an animal that's a little more aggressive. Jaguar. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that could have been it. Although the British are not known necessarily for their more aggressive.
Well,
names.
Triumph is quite an aggressive.
Yeah,
name.
But they had one called the Humboldt, and they had, you know,
Humboldt.
Yeah.
But that probably ends up being a famous something or other.
The Reliant tricycle car. It was known for tipping over and killing people. Anyway, Gary Buzich from Centralia was the guy who came in first with the answer, although our friend Josh from, where's Josh from?
Kentucky.
Josh from Kentucky. He had the correct answer as well, but Josh was not first. Gary was first. However, I will say to Josh, thank you for listening. We're very happy that you are, you know, continually Googling the answers to these trivia questions, because I'm sure that's what everybody does. Unless Josh is actually a font of useless trivial knowledge, as I am, so that would be very cool. But Gary wins the coveted bucket of HCR barn find dust for this week. And, you know, we probably, since we're getting some regular answers from some folks now, Josh is just one of them. We probably should say you can only win once in every 30-day period. Don't let that stop you from answering the questions. But,
no, yeah. It would be great.
Anyway, so yeah, good on Gary, and he'll pour that all over the, you know, the back of his 68 Volkswagen Super Beetle, and it'll be worth like a whole lot more.
Or his country squire, whichever one he has.
His country squire, yes. So the question for next week is even better. It's very cool. Now, this is kind of a trick question, so you got to listen. When were seatbelts first fitted to a vehicle? Not when did they show up as standard equipment. Okay. When were seatbelts first put on anything?
I know one car that was, but we won't say anything.
Your El Camino doesn't count.
No.
No. No, and it's way different from what you think. So, okay. If you know, you can get with us at Horsepower Chrome and Rust on the Facebook page. You can send us an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. And you too, if you are correct, could win the coveted chrome-plated, copper-lined, leather-upholstered, palatially plated bucket of Horsepower Chrome and Rust barn find dust, on which there is a picture with Shane holding it on our website. It could be yours. It could indeed be yours. And, by the way, before we get too far deep into this, I do want to remind you that we do have still a few openings for sponsors. It's a great opportunity to reach a close target audience of car enthusiasts every time the show is accessed. We share the podcast, can you believe this, with over 1 million listeners every week, and your message gets directly to them. So if you got a business that caters to car people, just let us go to work for you. Email the show at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com or message us on Facebook. And that will get you there. I do want to say, coming up next week, we have a special guest, but before we actually talk to them, I'm gonna reveal the coolest, newest, most awesome car show that is happening in the entire Puget Sound area. We will have graphics and artwork and all kinds of cool stuff. The official reveal is next week, so just stick with us. The official reveal is next week.
It's exciting all by itself.
It's exciting. It's fascinating.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing the graphics.
So the music's our cue to hit the gas until next week. Thanks to Quentin Folk for resurrecting his grandpa's car out of the Kansas mud. Thank you for liking and following our website and our Facebook page. Check out our archives at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Next week, we'll bring you the fully air ride version of another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
See you then.
See you then.